welcome to Christmas Clatter. I'm Todd Killian. Well, October is getting away in a hurry. So much going on around here at Christmas Clatter. I hope you guys are staying engaged on social media and on our website. Just so much to talk about. First things first, signups. If you're interested in joining the Puzzle Exchange, where you can send a new Christmas or winter scene puzzle to somebody and receive one, that registration is open. Just head over to christmasclatter.com, search, just click the blog section of the website, and the first blog post there is all about it. There'll be a link there for a form to fill out. There will also be a link to the form directly here in the show notes if you're interested, so be sure to check that out. Also going on this month is we are selling the Christmas Without Cancer t-shirts to support the charity Christmas Without Cancer. There's a design up on our merch store, christmascladdermerch.com. Anything bought with that design, all proceeds go to help make Christmas happen for families battling cancer this holiday season through Christmas Without Cancer. Great people, great charity. Hope you guys get involved with that. There's also all kinds of great merch there for you to check out. Have some giveaways going on, especially if you pay attention on the YouTube channel. And just so much. We got a lot of great music and musical guests coming here real soon. We got some authors and some great Christmas books, fiction, nonfiction, we'll be highlighting here real soon as well. And so we are in it eyeball deep. At the time of recording, I'm just less than a week away from starting my Christmas decorating. I want to get it done before Halloween this year. I was going to do it after Halloween, but that just felt a little bit too late. So I'm going to jump into it a little early, and hopefully you guys are making plans on getting that decorating done early so you can enjoy the holidays. Well, today we have a special couple guests. We have Jerry and Patrick from Christmas Without Cancer, who I just talked about, just to share the story of the charity, you know, where it began, what they do, the lives that they touch. And, you know, it's real important to, especially around the holidays and really year round, because, you know, the holidays, people feel extra giving and want to help, and that's wonderful. But, you know, charities tend to be forgotten in the spring and summer. And we don't want to do that. We want to be our best Christmas self every day. And so I was able to sit down with Jerry, who's founded Christmas Without Cancer. She's got a great story. And Patrick, who is heavily involved with the charity now after his dad's battle with cancer, which his dad was successful in. Enough of me, guys. Here is Jerry and Patrick from Christmas Without Cancer. Well, joining us here on Christmas Clatter, Jerry and Patrick from Christmas Without Cancer. You guys have heard me talk about them the past few weeks, selling the t-shirts and other merchandise to raise money for them. They love Christmas. They have great hearts. They're just trying to help families that are battling cancer, trying to make Christmas happen. They have branched out into other holidays, and I just know talking with Patrick through text and over the phone that he'd fit right in with the us here at the Christmas Clatter family. And Jerry, Patrick, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd, for having us.
Great. Jerry, from what I heard from Patrick, that you're kind of the founder of Christmas Without Cancer, and every great idea starts as a seed, you know, starts somewhere, it rolls around in your brain at first, and then, you know, it leads you to take some action. So just take us back to when Christmas Without Cancer was that idea and that spark.
All right. About 18 years ago, I was an oncology nurse at Advocate Christ Medical Center, and I had several patients, and I just loved the oncology patients, but there was one young family that stood out to me, and they were struggling and facing financial difficulty. They had a young baby. So I just thought, well, I'm going to reach out to some family and friends and see what we can do for them. And in a matter of 2 days, I had gift cards, presents, ornaments, Christmas decorations, even dog food, baby food, diapers, anything you could imagine. And we dropped it off at their house, and it was just such a beautiful time for the family. Mm-hmm. And so the following year, I kept it going because my young patient, she had passed away, the patient I was talking about.
Oh, mercy.
So her husband and brother contacted me and said, could we do this for another family? I said, absolutely. So, of course, there's always another cancer patient with mm-hmm. a young family. And we reached out to them and helped them. But over the years, it just kind of caught on. We started helping more people locally. And the support in our community and the fundraising that we do has just brought us to such a level where we not only help people at Christmas time, but we do it all year round because cancer happens all year round, not just at Christmas. So we help with rent, mortgage, tuition. We give gift cards for gas, medications, groceries, hospital parking. Sometimes we can help with transportation issues. And, you know, as long as our budget allows it, we are there for these patients.
Oh, that's wonderful. I really love that it's Christmas Without Cancer, but you're helping year round, because I sign off every episode of Christmas Clatter with the phrase, keep Christmas hope alive every day, you know, and it's like, that's like the perfect, you know, you guys are, you're living it and you're doing it. And I just love that sentiment. And you're right. You know, cancer doesn't, you know, it has no season or no rhyme or reason at times. And unfortunately, the day and age we live, I don't think there's someone alive that hasn't been touched by having a loved one with cancer or themselves. So, Patrick, how did you get involved with the Christmas Without Cancer?
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with a cancer called non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And he's, you know, right here in the neighborhood. That's where we live, right around the corner from Jerry. And everybody wanted to help my dad out. And that's just not the kind of guy he is. He didn't want people helping him.
Right.
So he wanted to find a way that people can give mm-hmm. without having, you know, giving it to him.
Right.
So he found this organization, Christmas Without Cancer. And his first event was a hair cutting event. You know, he was going through chemotherapy. Right. And, you know, he was losing his hair. So he found found a way to be able to cut his hair with so many family, friends, neighbors, you know, even the mayor of Evergreen Park here.
He came out,
you know, got his hair cut. So he was able to shave his head with all his family and everybody there with him, all while raising money for a special organization.
Oh, wow.
It really was. And the support your dad had was amazing. I was like, wow, this is.
Yeah, that's why we continue, you know, happy to have myself and, you know, my entire family back this organization. And we continue to do it day in and day out. And we love doing it.
Your dad is, you know, truly special to have that many people show up and support and things. And I could just, you know, I haven't met him, but I could just see people rallying around him and you know, taking that to heart, because it is such a battle, you know.
Right.
Oh, his dad has a huge heart too.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's just that kind of guy and a neighborhood guy, and everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. And he's been through so much. Jim, his dad has.
Yeah.
And no matter what, Jim and the McKeever family is always there behind us. And it's great. It's great. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. I know Patrick's told me that his dad's the big Christmas fan in the family, the big Christmas fanatic.
I was telling him, I didn't think until I met you, I didn't really think his love for Christmas could be matched. You know, as I'm looking at you sitting in front of a Christmas tree, this is a first. So.
There is a blow up Santa in front of the house right here.
With a countdown.
With a countdown to Christmas.
I think we're at 72 days now.
Yes. Yeah,
that sounds about right. Yes. Yeah.
You know, every day.
Scary when you drive by.
That's just fantastic. He is my kind of people. Absolutely. I mean,
you would love him.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, my mom right now, as we speak, her house is in shambles because she's decorating right now, getting the whole inside ready. And
Was all this going on when you were a kid too? You celebrated Christmas like starting in September or October?
We didn't do it that early when I was a kid. My mom was diehard real Christmas tree person. So we always waited till the weekend after Thanksgiving, because that was like the earliest you could actually go cut a tree and still have it viable at Christmas. You know? And, but the enthusiasm was there. And then once like artificial trees got better in the way they looked and held up
real,
right. They, you know, mom kind of went that direction because she wanted to decorate earlier and, you know, it's to decorate that early. You have to have an artificial tree, for safety reasons and stuff. And so she has, depending on, you know, when she was working, you know, she's retired now and her, my dad's retired, but when she was working and things, she, there was one year because she looked at the schedule and we started having our big family. Like we used to go to my, my dad's parents' house for Thanksgiving. And once they got a little, you know, had some more age on them and they, you know, really it was a lot for them to host it. They started doing it at my mom and dad's house. And so one year, my mom like looked at the schedule and was like, okay, I got Thanksgiving. I got to decorate for Christmas. We got this, these things for work coming up. So she decorated in August that year. So make sure she had enough time. So, but you know, she puts up 25 trees and she decorates every room of the house, you know, to the nines. And so if you're going to do that much decoration, you might as well put it up as early as you can so you can enjoy all that hard work for as long as possible. And
yeah, we'll get started here soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right after, Halloween. No,
Right after Halloween.
I'm taking off the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday before Halloween. I took off work those days and to decorate. So, but my house isn't, I don't put up 25 trees. I don't have the physical room for them. I mean, I guess I could, but then you'd just have pathways around the house.
You know, right.
but I get it honestly from my mom. My dad loves Christmas too, but he's not quite as enthusiastic as she is. But I get it honestly from her. And there's lots of people, Patrick, like your dad, that just something about Christmas is their thing. You know, some people it's baseball or football or it's, you know, movies or, you know, you name it. And some people think it's Christmas, you know.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It's just a perfect blend of like.
Yeah, she'll call it the most stressful time of the year.
it can be that too. And that's one thing I have.
For Christmas without cancer, we sponsor several families for the holiday season that are affected by cancer. And that's really the favorite time of the year for me. And I think most everybody on the committee, right. It is such a heartwarming day. And what we do is we obtain a Christmas list from the family at their Christmas wish list and the committee, we form committees and we purchase gifts for these families. And we have Santa present. If there's little kids in the family, it is by far the most heartwarming day. It's very bittersweet.
Yeah.
And to go, I've been doing this for a long time. Every year, there's always several families that get me choked up, but it makes me feel proud that our organization is bringing this to these families at such a hard time.
Right.
So I'm glad we're able to do this. And I, you know, we have great, I have a great committee. I do, you know, like I have Patrick and I have Patrick's aunt and we have myself and Renee Copeland is our vice president. And, you know, it's since I'm going to be honest with you, since these younger people got involved, we have really grown tremendously. And I just think that's so great because we can help more families.
Right.
So, it's a pleasure to work with all of them.
That's wonderful to hear that it's got to make you feel good to know that you've been doing it so long and you're finding people to kind of give some of those other responsibilities and stuff too and things. But you talked about, you know, every year, you know, something happens. Is there one particular family or one memory that just kind of just stands out above the others?
Oh, man. So many. Which one? We had a little boy in the community that had a very rare brain tumor, a DIPG brain tumor, which is just the worst tumor a pediatric patient could ever have. It's right in the brainstem. And the family, I was there when the little boy was diagnosed. And I found out she was from the neighborhood and had up two other children. And I reached out to her and spent time talking to her and kind of getting her through some rough times. And we gave her some gift cards for gas because she was going back and forth to hospitals. And actually, they went all over the country to get treatment for this little boy. And we gave him Southwest Airline gift cards. But when we delivered Christmas to that family, there was a choir there.
Oh, wow.
From, I think it was Mother McCauley. And here we were walking up to the house with these gifts and these beautiful girls dressed in white singing the Alleluia chorus. And then I walked in the house and just saw this beautiful mom with these three little boys and this one little boy. He was just so sick. And that was like I said, it's bittersweet.
Right.
You know, you're bringing them joy, but you just look at the situation and like, how could this be happening to them?
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard sometimes.
Yeah. It is. And like I said, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. And you know, it just kind of, you know, it always catches, you know, people off guard and families off guard. But that's a great thing about what you guys are doing there, as you know, as a form of a safety net and a form of support and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, Patrick, let me ask you this. What's some of the things you do throughout the year as far as like fundraising? Are the big fundraisers or that you do? Or
yeah, so just this past September is one of our largest events, which Jerry actually has a shirt on for. It's our Christmas Dog Cancer 5K run/walk. It's located here in Evergreen Park. This year was probably one of our biggest years.
Best year ever. Yeah.
You know, so many people from the community. We even had some people from out of state do it virtually because we gave the option to do it virtually or in person. And just you donate money, you know, and you walk the community, you run the streets around here.
It's so nice. It really is. And you see a lot of survivors. And I always stand at the finish line to give the patients a high five. And some of them are in wheelchairs. It's just so cool. It's really a great day.
Yeah.
And we all work so hard. That's our biggest event.
Yeah.
It's our best event because I think it's the one that brings me most joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you meet a lot of different people. And, you know, just kind of sharing stories from one another, you know,
I know,
from what we've seen to what people have dealt with throughout their families, you know, loved ones that may have passed away. And, you know, it's a nice way to honor some of their loved ones, you know.
Right.
Right.
And it's very cool to be out there and very cool to be with all these people. And especially after COVID, this year was very special.
Yeah. It was absolutely. Our first year because we had to do it. But every year we have honorees that we honor that are survivors of cancer. And this year we honored three people. And each one of them had such a beautiful story. We honored a young girl who was diagnosed a few months after getting married. She was diagnosed with a pediatric cancer. And it was a bone cancer. It was Ewing sarcoma. And she went to hell and back. And she's now doing well. And she's working as a nurse navigator to help cancer patients. And she just recently joined us on our committee.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because, you know, we helped her a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she was just so grateful. And now she's on our committee, and she's a great advocate for some of the cancer patients, too, the young ones. Uh-huh. She can talk to, they would be able to talk to her. And then we also honored a young man, a father of two, a married father of two, who has leukemia and still under treatment. And just an all-around great family guy. And then our last honoree, who's the one, this kid was so amazing, diagnosed freshman year of high school with lymphoma. And it was going to be a pretty simple treatment, you know, just, you know, chemo, radiation, you're good to go. But unfortunately, it didn't go that way for him. And it just kept reoccurring and reoccurring and reoccurring. And the family just basically went all over the country to get him treatment. Finally, to make a long story short, he had transplant and then went into septic shock and was in intensive care for several weeks on a vent. And his prognosis was very poor. And I'm happy to say he's amazing now. He's a college student. I'm so proud of these honorees. And there's so many more. I could honor hundreds all day, you know, but these two just stood out because they've been through so much.
Right. Right. Well, I'll have to mark my calendar for next year's event and try to get up there. You guys aren't terribly far from me, and I know
that'd be great. Yeah,
I know me and my wife would be tickled to go up there and participate and help out. She, we don't, you know, she here a few years back, you know, had her own, you know, I guess you call it cancer scare. She ended up finding out she had thyroid cancer. And so she had her thyroid out and went through that. But, you know, it's still, you know, it's still a situation to deal with. It's not as bad as what some people get it, but you still, you know, it's stressful and, you know, mentally exhausting.
Under treatment now?
Oh, she's fine now. She's, they took her thyroid and gave her the radioactive iodine treatment. And then, and since then, she's been clean as a whistle every time she gets tested. So
that's good. Yeah. I used to work in radiation oncology, so I know just what she went through. So that's good news. She's doing great.
It is. And, you know, of course, you know, to be completely honest with you, you know, you tell people that and they're like, oh, well, you got the kind of cancer that, you know, the good kind, because it's easy to treat. And it's like, really? It's still like completely overwhelmingly stressful, exhausting, you know, and
yeah,
so I can't imagine what
hurt and you're just overwhelmed immediately.
Right. You know, so it's like, you know, because they've got this one figured out doesn't mean it, you know, makes it absolutely easier, you know.
Well, every patient is unique.
Yeah. And stuff. So, but, and of course, you know, my sister-in-law, you know, has had her, you know, a battle with breast cancer, and she's fine now too. You know, she's had some things done and she's tested good for several years now. So
good. Yeah. That's great. News.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's every, I could probably, you know, probably everybody in the States and around the world has known somebody or themselves been affected by cancer. I'm going to ask you this. It's just a question I could come up with here while you was talking. Let's say my neighbor across the street, you know, I find out gets a cancer diagnosis and I want to help. What would be the first advice you would give me to help them, you know, to help them out? You know, would it be, you know, just encouragement? Would it be, you know, something financial, a little of both, but what would be your advice to someone that has someone and isn't sure exactly how to help?
I know. You know, the hardest part for some of these patients is they're afraid to reach out for help. They are, even if people offer. There's, you know, some people are just so proud. I would offer support, encouragement. I would drop stuff off at their house. You know, like, I don't know, like everybody gets casseroles around here.
Yeah.
You know, just a note saying, I'm thinking of you.
Stay strong.
Yeah, stay strong. Anything you can do to support them. But the little, I find that the little things mean so much. Like if you went off and paid off their house, it'd be like, oh, yeah, that's great. But the little things mean so much to people. They do. I mean, some of the people, you know, we have a lot of people that support us that are previous recipients of ours, mm-hmm. and they come back to us and support us as a way of paying it forward. Right. So that's the beauty of this organization. And
encouragement.
That's right. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Encouragement notes. You know what I do right now? I have a friend going through chemo and radiation. I'll text her. Some people don't want to talk because everybody wants you. It's like you're telling your story 15 times, you know. Mm-hmm. So then just shoot them a text or a funny joke or, you know, a funny Instagram or whatever. Offer support, drop off little things. But before, I find some patients are so overwhelmed that they appreciate a text or like, they would text them and say, can I come by someday this week? What time is good for you? Because if they're under treatment and they're not feeling good that day, they can kind of time what time to come or what day to come when they're feeling better.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That's any kind of support, you know, any kind of support you could, you know, if you said like a neighbor, it's, like she said, it's the little things.
Yeah. Little things mean so much. I mean, mow their lawn, you know, or, you know, buy them a turkey. You know, just the little things. Take their garbage out, their garbage cans out, you know. That's just shovel for them. I don't know, you know, shoveling is a big thing.
Yeah. You guys get that a little bit more than I do, but it does happen around here some. So it sure does. So, Patrick, tell everybody where they can find Christmas Without Cancer.
Yeah, so all our events, pictures, photos, all information, you can also donate in our website. That's christmaswithoutcancer.org. Everything's on there. And like I said, we were talking about the Christmas Without Cancer, the 5K. We also have, this is new as of this past year, is our golf outing, our For a Cause golf outing that we started this year, which was a huge success. We have that most likely in June this year.
Yeah.
So we look forward to doing that again. And then in November, we have another event called Harvesting Hope. It's just another local event. You know, all money raised at the fundraiser goes right to
great raffle prizes.
Yeah, it's a big raffle event, and all the money raised goes straight to Christmas Without Cancer.
Oh, that's fantastic! And here on Christmas Clatter, all month long, we have a special limited run on our T-shirts. The link will be down in the show notes and description, and you see the shirt here on the screen. If anybody buys any t-shirt, coffee mug, sticker that has this logo from on it with Christmas Without Cancer from our store, all proceeds of that will go directly to Jerry and Patrick and the Christmas Without Cancer crew to help support their cause. So I encourage each and every one to go to the website and to donate and to go pick up a t-shirt as well. And to help, you know, make Christmas happen for these families. And I really appreciate you guys hopping on here with me and telling me your story about Christmas Without Cancer. And I hope you guys are, don't stay strangers, you know, come around.
All right. Yeah, this was fun.
We would love to have you out of our events this year.
That'd be great. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. I definitely will be making plans at least to get up at that 5K in September. That time of year really works out for me, and I think that's something we are going to be marking the calendar for 2022. So
awesome. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks so much, guys, and you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Todd, you too.
Thank you so much.
Keep the spirits up this holiday season.
Thanks for joining me here on Christmas Clatter. Be sure to check out our website, christmasclatter.com. Email me at todd@christmasclatter.com. Christmas Clatter is a proud presentation of the Christmas Podcast Network. And remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.